folks, welcome back to the Traders Point podcast show. Today we are answering question number 3 in our Ask TPC series of mini episodes. Today we're going to be sitting down with our North Campus pastor, Greg Anderson, to answer the questions, how do I find purpose no matter what job I'm doing, and how do I live out my faith at work? Greg is the perfect person to answer this question because he not only has over 13 years of experience in the marketplace, but he really is passionate about seeing people live out their faith no matter what they're doing. I think that if you are asking this question, you will really be encouraged by today's episode. All right. Hey, guys. I'm sitting down today with our North Campus pastor, Greg Anderson. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. Good. I'm great. We're excited to have Greg on today. We're going to talk through some questions that you guys have submitted about work. But before we get into that, Greg, give us a little bit of an update. It's July. We've been in summer for a little bit. Tell us about what's going on at North Campus right now.
Yeah. It's been continues to go great. I mean, we've had six full months now. And, I was just recounting to you, I mean, the last 4 weeks we've had people respond to the call to the gospel to receive Christ right there at the campus.
Man, that's awesome.
You know, we've been talking about discipleship happens best when you worship where you live, and we've just seen this now more and more of as a core conviction because of what we're seeing, where people are serving and getting in groups at a very high rate. And so what you're seeing is, you know, people inviting folks that they've never received the gospel, and they're receiving the gospel. And so I think we've had close to 40 people that have been baptized or told us they're ready to be baptized at North. And I think over 200 people that have gotten plugged into groups, either groups or that are serving. So some sort of intentional discipleship environment that were not 6 months ago. And so, you know, that's the whole mission is multiplying disciples, and it's happening. So we're excited about it.
That's awesome. Sweet. Well, we are going to talk a little bit today about work, and we felt like you'd be a great person to talk about this with, because before you were here on staff as a campus pastor, you were in the marketplace for 13 years. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. So we've gotten several questions about work. The first one, how do you find purpose no matter what job you're doing? And then the second one is, how do you live out your faith at work? So we can start with the first one.
Sure.
I know they're both pretty big, but felt like you'd be a great person to speak into it.
Yeah. Well, these are not surprising. They're often asked questions. I mean, I've gotten the question a lot just in the last 6 months where, you know, this comes up. And because the reality is most of our listeners are in the marketplace, not working in a church. And so how do you live it out? How do you find purpose? I mean, I think the best way to find purpose in what you do during the day, and this may sound cliche, but I think it's true, is make sure you've got a clear understanding of what your purpose is in life. Like, why are you here? Why do you exist? Why did God put you on this planet? Because from that point, then I believe it affects everything else that you do. And so somebody asked me the other day, they said, you know, Greg, you seem that you love being in ministry, and you love the Lord and you love people. Their question was, how could you have been in the marketplace? I was in pharmaceutical sales and then in management. Like, how did you do that? And live out and find purpose and meaning. Well, I enjoyed what I did, and I thought that it was really valuable and meaningful what the work was. But ultimately, the answer is because a man on a mission, and the mission is to go make disciples and tell people about Jesus. And because he's transformed my life and changed me the way that he has, it's like Peter and John in Acts 4, where they were told to stop talking about him, and they said, we can't help it. We can't help speaking about what we've seen and heard. And so when your life is consumed with Christ, then you have a purpose and a meaning for why you're here, why you exist. Then it's like Colossians 3 and Ecclesiastes 9. These verses say, Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart unto God, not unto man. And Ecclesiastes 9 is whatever your hand finds you do, do it with all your heart. And I think that then comes from an obedience to the mission to go and make disciples. And whatever you do, I'm going to do it with all that I have, with all of my heart. And then you find purpose in it. And so, you know, I think we often can overthink, you know, I got to have like the perfect job. And don't get me wrong. I mean, my dad used to always tell me that old saying. I forget who originally said it, but my dad would say it a lot. If you're passionate about what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. And so I understand the heart of people when they'll sit down or they're asking these questions to say, my job just feels mundane. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem like it doesn't matter.
Right. Because I'm guessing that anyone who would ask this question, they're asking this question because maybe they don't feel purposeful about the work that they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And so there's got to be, so sometimes like, the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And so sometimes we just got to make tents. So there were times where Paul, he was a tent maker. He had a job to help support himself and provide. Mm-hmm. And so that's very true. Now, did Paul love making tents? I don't know. But he's the same guy who said, whatever you do, do it with all your heart. I bet he was really good at making tents.
Right.
And I bet he worked really hard. And he had Priscilla and Aquila. And they had a church in their home. And so again, this goes back to the root of it, I think, is your life is on mission. Because Priscilla and Aquila, let's just take them, they worked alongside Paul. We see them in Acts, and they'd have a group of believers that would meet in their house, but they own this tent-making business. And what we can learn from Priscilla and Aquila is that they were passionate about Jesus and making him known, so they were in ministry. And I think that's the thing that we would love everybody to know, is that everybody is in ministry. The fact that I left the marketplace to come work at a church, the ministry isn't any more significant or less significant. The mm-hmm. scope is different, mm-hmm. but the ministry is still available. So we'll talk in a second about practically how do you live it out where mm-hmm. you are. But when you get a clear vision that God has called us to live a life on mission mm-hmm. and making disciples and growing in your faith and taking intentional steps to be in environments through groups and mm-hmm. through serving. I mean, there's reasons why we always talk about those things because, you know, you may have a tent making job where you're just, you know, Sunday morning, you get the Mondays, you're like, man, I don't want to go to church or go to work on Monday. Mm-hmm. But when you're serving or in a group, you're growing and it changes everything. And you'll start finding more meaning because maybe you'll have a relationship at work with that you could come alongside somebody. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden that adds value in what you're doing day to day.
And the thing that I've heard you speak about too is that also working really hard mm-hmm. and doing what you do really well is an act of worship.
Yes,
to God.
No doubt.
Using your gifts to do the things that he's put you on this earth to do.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we should be believers. I believe should be the hardest working. We should have, you know, just great integrity. We should have great attitudes because of who we're living for and why we're here. We're here to bring glory to him. Mm-hmm. And so when Paul says, whatever you do, work it out with all your heart. I remember having a year in review once where I had a manager. This was when I was a salesperson. My manager and then a brand new manager who was taken over. And I had a really, you know, great year by the grace of God. It was very successful. So they're going through all this stuff. And not because of any reason other than I believed it was true, that I was turning the glory back to him. And with this new man, my new manager was there. And I'll never forget his response. He cut it off at one point. He goes, Greg, hey, I think you need to take more credit for all of this. He said, you know, and it was very interesting why he did that. He would later come to me and apologize. He goes, man, I realized, you know, because I'm sure my current boss told him, said, man, this guy's, he really is doing this for God. He's really not trying to get accolades and pats on the back. And so when you work really hard and God blesses what you do, then you get an increased platform and mm-hmm. then the light gets brighter. And again, if you're a person on a mission, which mm-hmm. as a follower of Christ, we ought to be, then you get an opportunity to point to him.
Right.
And it's true.
Yeah. So then is that sort of a natural segue to the next question mm-hmm. then of how do I live out my faith at work?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, for all of you that are listening, I mean, we talked about this before. We want this to be very practical. And so even like, did what we just say help you with finding purpose in what you do? And you may feel kind of stuck and like you don't like who you work with and stuff like that. There is no easy answer to that. And that's mm-hmm. why we're just trying to get to the heart of the issue of you've been called to go make disciples and mm-hmm. tell people about him. And so I hope that what we share here can kind of give some practical handles of mm-hmm. what actually can I do to do that. And so the first thing I would say is, again, at the risk of sounding cliche, is you got to just stay close to Jesus and abide. So look at John 15 when he talks about, I'm the branch, you're the vine, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And if you really want to bring glory to God through what you do, you're going to need his help. to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And so just sticking to the basics of being in his word and being in prayer and being in relationship, those intentional discipleship environments will be the most important thing you can do to live out your faith in the workplace, because then it goes back to the whole Acts 4. You just won't be able to help it. You're mm-hmm. going to exude the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, and that will unlock many doors for you to tell people, why are you so loving? Why are you so kind? Why are you so joyful? And so we can get into all the practical stuff in the world, but if you're not abiding in Christ and chasing after him and his word and in prayer and in relationships with people that where it's authentic and you're getting at the heart level to talk about how to grow in your relationship with Christ, then all the other practical stuff won't help. Mm-hmm. From that, I would say this whole mantra that we have at Traders Point with our healthy culture, where we talk about being humble and hungry, mm-hmm. I would try to summarize some practical tips under being humble and under being hungry.
Great. Yeah. So let's get into those, because I think that some practical stuff would be really, really helpful.
Yep. So when we talk about humble, you know, certainly it starts with being humble before God. Mm-hmm. And if we're humble before God, he changes our heart and he makes us more like Christ, who did nothing out of selfish ambition. And he laid his life down and he sacrificed and gave his life as a ransom for us. And so one thing that I would do in the spirit of this is, I started this when I was a manager, because, you know, I worked at a Fortune, 50 company, and typically in any marketplace setting, because we've got humans that have flesh nature, it's just a lot of dog eat dog and a lot of trying to one up one another and climb the corporate ladder. And nobody's trying to lay down their lives before others except Christ-like people who mm-hmm. are trying to live for Christ. We are the ones that will say, I genuinely want to serve you. I genuinely want to help you. So because I've got a fleshly heart, just like anybody else, one thing that I began to do, and I still do it to this day, and this is very personal, but I'll share it in the spirit of hoping to help. Mm-hmm. I would pray Philippians 2:3-5. And so I'd get alone, and at my the region office where I was at, there was a place where I would go, and I would say, all right, Lord, I want to do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility of mind, I want to esteem others above myself. Help me to not look out for my own interest, but also for the interest of others, and let the mind of Christ be in me. And so I would pray that to him. And then there's this poem that I came across a while ago. And, you know, in leadership, very passionate about leadership, there's either self-centered leaders or other-centered leaders. There's either one or the other. Either you're in it for yourself, which the people will always figure that out, mm-hmm. or you're in it for others. And so I found this poem. I turned it into a prayer. I mean, it really is a prayer. And I don't know if we can put it together in the notes, show notes for people.
Yeah, we definitely can.
It says, help me, Lord, to live each day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer might be for others. Help me, Lord, in all I do to ever be sincerely true and know that all I do for you must be done for others. Others, Lord, others, let this my motto be, help me live for others so I may live like thee. And so I would literally get alone and do that, and I still do it, because my heart, deep in my heart, is there just becomes self, and it becomes my pride. Mm-hmm. And if we're not attacking our pride and slaying our pride, and the verses we're talking about, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. Well, that's humble yourself. Humble yourself. It says it all kinds of different places. And so there's something that God's asking us to do. But he doesn't ask us to do it alone. So let the mind of Christ that was in him be in you, who being the form of God didn't consider, the whole Philippians 2. And so I just encourage you in the spirit of being humble is to just get on your knees with God and say, God, slay my pride and show me what it looks like to clothe myself with humility. Read Philippians 2:3-5, memorize it. And, that prayer, the other's prayer, even if you just do the last part, others, Lord, others, let this my motto be, help me live for others so I may live like thee. Even if you get that, I think it'll help you get your heart right. And then what happens is you'll be so different than everybody else that the light shines bright through you. Hmm. And this is when people come to you and they say, what gives? Why are you like this? Why do you do what you do? Mm-hmm. And you have an open door that you get to boldly walk through.
Because when I hear you saying that, I think that sometimes people would say, well, I don't want to come off as like perfect or fake. But that's not what you're saying. Mm-mm. You're saying be humble. Mm-hmm. And when you make mistakes, admit it. That's because that stands out like crazy, right?
That's it. Totally. Yeah. And one another one of the practical things, and I'll get to hungry in a second, but I think it'd tie into being humble is I would tell people, you know, because you just can't help it. You tell them when you get to know him or whatever, that he's the most important thing to me. And I'm talking about coworkers. I'm not talking about clients. Right. Somebody asked me one time, do you used to tell the clients? No, you got to have integrity. You have a job that you got to do and you're there to do it.
So you're talking about people that you would work every day with.
Well, yeah, right. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And so in the spirit of that, when you tell somebody or it comes out that you're a follower of Christ, the number one reason why what they say people resist Christ or don't go to church are Christians because of the hypocrisy, and they use that as an excuse, but a lot of it's valid. And so you could say, man, if I tell them, then what happens when I screw up? Well, guess what? You're going to screw up. Guess what? I screwed up. But to your point, then we go to them and we humble ourselves. We ask for apology. We'd be the first one to apologize. We'd be the first one to admit that we were wrong. Mm-hmm. And nobody does that. And they're like, what is wrong with you? Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. And maybe it is something to do with him and you know, who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So then tell us a little bit about what being hungry looks like in a Christ-like way in the marketplace.
Yeah. I love the fact that I'm like obsessed with the fact that Jesus was a lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and the lion of the tribe of Judah. So I have this like crazy obsession with William Wallace, you know, yesterday, you know, we started, yesterday was July 4th and I'm all about the history of our country and I'm so proud of America. But I started teaching my 6-year-old and 4-year-old on freedom by going, of course, to Braveheart videos. We watch the Braveheart videos all the time.
You do know Braveheart's not about America, right?
I do. Well, okay, that's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Just
I asked
Matt. Were tying those together.
No, I was with Matt Hessel yesterday. I said, Matt, is it wrong that I started the 4th of July with, you know, 1290 in Scotland? And we're like, no, not when it's, you know, because he told me he was in Scotland and he was asking them if Braveheart's a big deal. And he goes, that's kind of an American movie. So there you go, you know, okay. Mel Gibson put it on. But there's clips that you can, of course, the speech when he had the face painted. And so this whole idea of Christians to be hungry, we ought to just flat out tear it up. And I don't apologize at all for the fact that people knew I was very intense. I still am. I'm very intense.
And so wait, when you say tear it up, what do you mean?
We ought to be the hardest workers, the most gritty people. Grit is the key to success, and behavioral psychology does all this work. I'm obsessed with reading about it. There's a new book came out. It's not a theological book by any means, but it unpacks all this research that's done on what separates the good from the great. And it's grit, which is passion and perseverance for long-term success. Mm. And if we are doing this to glorify God, then we have all the passion we should need. And then the perseverance is, I just want you to be glorified, God. I want people to know you. It's why I'm here. It's why I do what I do. Then nobody should outwork us. This is an obedience issue. And it just expands your platform. So one of the things, my wife's amazing. She was the greatest thing that the company had before. I would always say she was the greatest value that company had, because she made me so much better. And one of the ways she makes me better is I just know she's always praying for me. And one of the things I know she always prays for me is Proverbs 3:3-4, where it says, "Let love and faithfulness be bound around your neck, so that you can find favor with God and with man." Mm-hmm. And love and faithfulness, that's a part of being hungry, where it's, I'm hungry for God, and I'm hungry to be the very, very best that we can. And if we're faithful, so believers, we should be the most faithful, the most loyal, the most integrity, people of integrity. And then what happens is, what that verse is saying is, God looks upon you with favor, and you get favor with man. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that's what I mean by tearing it up. I mean, we ought to just outwork. And it's not even about outworking people. It's just being, it's not about being the best. I'm never obsessed with being the best, but I think we ought to be obsessed with being our best, the very best that what God has gifted you to do and created you to do, and he's given you unique gifts and unique strengths. You ought to find out what those are, and you ought to develop them with everything you got. Mm-hmm. Because you're trying to bring him glory. Mm-hmm. So whatever you do, all of your heart, unto him, not unto man.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean about hungry. And that could be true for someone who works here on staff at church, and also someone
no doubt
who works as a janitor or a doctor or a teacher.
No doubt.
Right? Like, yeah. It's not the job description that is the prescriptor of that.
No.
Yeah.
I heard a great podcast the other day. In fact, a lot of us have talked about it and listened to it as a leadership team here, but Craig Rochelle does one where he talks about institutionalizing urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the greatest challenge to future success is current success, because our natural default as humans is complacency. It's not urgency. And so, we can very easily fall into pride and lazy instead of humble and hungry. And so how do you institutionalize urgency? And he talks, he has some really good stuff in there, but just about realizing that you have a divine calling, that there's outside opposition, and you've got limited time. Mm-hmm. And if you keep that formula in front of you, it'll help institute urgency to say, God's called me to this. Even if it's the quote unquote mundane job that you're really struggling with, for some reason, he's got you there.
Mm-hmm.
And so lean into it, be urgent. Represent him. Don't drag him through the mud because you've said you're a Christian or it comes out and you're lazy. In fact, I would say don't take my advice on letting people know that you're a Christian if you're not going to be humble and hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep it to yourself and work through. And I say that with all the love in my heart. Don't drag the cross through the mud. You're like, mm-hmm. those Christians, man, they're lazy. I mean, I can't stand that when Christians will be, you hear things about, oh, Christians cheap, or they're cheap when they tip, or mm-hmm. or they're lazy, or whatever. And that should be just the exact opposite. We got to be the most generous and the hardest working. And of course, and I don't want to swing the pendulum too hard, this does start with our families.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to give our best to our best and make sure what you don't hear in this is, hey, we got to tear it up, it's 80 hours a week. No.
Right.
We don't have the same
amount of time. Identity firmly rooted in Christ.
That's
in a confidence.
The key.
Yeah.
That is absolutely the key. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Which is different and stands out to not have your identity tied to a work performance.
You're right. Or my performance or my role.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're a believer who happens to be a doctor. You're a follower mm-hmm. of Christ who happens to be a CEO
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. If we hear nothing else, mm-hmm. if we say nothing else,
mm-hmm.
Our identity in Christ is the most important thing in all of this. Because then comes the purpose in all of that, and you're able to be humble and hungry for the right reasons.
Yeah, and then comes, how you live it out.
Yep.
So, as we wrap up, is there anything else that you would share as it relates to? I know that you've gotten just a bit of experience as it relates to this. And I know that mm-hmm. when you were leaving your last position to come here, some things changed, but your purpose didn't. So is there anything else you mm-hmm. want to speak to as it relates to that?
Yeah, I'd love to. Just as best as we can, really encourage everybody that's listening to see what you do as a ministry and to appreciate the ministry that you have is truly frontline work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell this story of after I had made it known to the company I worked with that I would be leaving to do this, I received a call from the VP of sales of the United States, and VP of sales, not the VP of the United States.
Not selling the United States.
Yeah, right.
I was wait, there is such a thing?
That's
very interesting. Okay, VP
so,
of sales.
I got to know him. He's a really amazing guy. He's a strong believer. We had a great relationship. And he said, Greg, just tell me what's going on. So I shared it with him. And he said, man, I'm not going to get in the way if it sounds like this is what God's doing. He goes, but the only pitch I have to get you to reconsider is simply this. He said, this company and every other company is starving for Christian men and women to live it out in the marketplace, to be leaders and to live it out in the marketplace. And I said, I know. And I believe that God has given us in the church the responsibility to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so while I'm not on the front lines as much, the heartbeat that I have for our incredibly talented and committed, followers of Christ who go to church here and who listen to this beats even harder if it's possible, because you're still on the front lines. And to embrace the fact that you have a ministry where you're at
mm-hmm.
and to be fully committed to living it out where you're at. And, I have been just incredibly blown away, and I hope our people can appreciate the incredible giftedness, whether you're talking about of the people that go to church here. We've got just marketplace leaders, high-level mm-hmm. CEOs, professional athletes, you know, stay-at-home moms, the whole gamut, there is incredible influence that all of our people have. Mm-hmm. And we just need to be able to steward that well. Yeah. And so I'm so thankful that, you know, we're doing these podcasts, and it is just our deep, deep prayer that this would be helpful and it would give you courage. So when I talk about encourage, the word encourage means to give courage. Mm-hmm. And so our prayer for this is that it actually gives you courage to double down or redouble mm-hmm. your efforts to be more humble in the workplace, to be more hungry, and realize the ministry that you have. I mean, one other practical thing we talked about, or I wanted to share, is some of you need to start a study, a prayer mm-hmm. group or a Bible study in your workplace, because mm-hmm. you've got other believers. And one of my favorite sayings is leaders lead. And so mm-hmm. somebody's just got to step up and go first. Mm-hmm. And what you will find, I used to do this in sales meetings. I would have them come to my room. I'd do it with guys, come to my room at 7 a.m. I would do a devotional and I would pray with them. And what we prayed for is that we would be salt and light to our company at this meeting. And if you do that, they will follow. The believers will begin to come out of the woodwork, and you'll begin to see your coworkers get saved because you start praying for your coworkers and you start praying that you have open doors, and God will answer those prayers. And mm-hmm. so just know that the marketplace is starving, the world is starving for the hope that we have, and we just take it as a joy and as a responsibility we have to come alongside, to encourage you guys, to equip you guys, to stay in the front lines and keep changing the world with the hope of Jesus.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I know that I'm just imagining right now that people are listening from all different, everything you just mentioned. If some people yeah. are on their drive to work, some people are coming home, some people are prepping dinner for the night, and I mean, we didn't plan for this, but would you be willing to just pray and give some courage as we end this?
Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. If I can do it without crying.
Yep.
Yeah. God, I thank you so much for just the technology that we have, where we can huddle up like this. We can just speak courage into our people that are listening. And God, I just pray right now, whatever is being stirred in those that are listening, God, that you would just give them a clear vision for the mission that you have called them to go and to make disciples, to proclaim the greatest news on the planet, that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, that you rose again, and the same power that rose you, Lord, from the grave is in us to give us this supernatural boldness and this power to go and to be witnesses in where we live, work, and play. And God, to know that you have called us to be these witnesses, and you have given us power and boldness, we are so thankful. It is by your grace that we are what we are. And I pray that everything that we have said in this podcast would be glorifying to you, that as a church, we would be even more humble and more hungry for you. And if we could just keep focusing on you and pursue you, you're going to keep using us to reach lost people. And we're going to see more disciples being made. And our brothers and sisters that are on the front lines in the marketplace, where they live, where they work, and work in this context, and where they live in their neighborhoods, that these lights will shine brighter and brighter, and we'll see more and more people come to faith in Christ all throughout this city. And at the crossroads of America, God, would be this epicenter where more and more people would come to know Jesus, not only here, but all the way to the ends of the earth. We ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Greg. Hey, guys, thanks so much for joining us this week. Hey, one thing we would love for you to do, if you've been listening to this podcast and you really like it, give us a review on iTunes. This helps other people find the show, and we would be so grateful. Also, we've got a new page up and running for the podcast show at tpcc.org/podcastshow. So go ahead and check it out and let us know what you think. Also, if you have questions through Ask TPCC that you haven't heard answered, we would love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@tpcc.org or use the hashtag AskTPCC anywhere on social media. Thanks, guys.